when we define the digital water universe or the digital water market, metering is the single largest piece of that pie.
I'm Reese Tisdale, and this is Future Water, in which we talk about all the ways which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. This is episode 67, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good one. Why is that? Because I'm joined today by Bluefield Research's Eric Bendler to talk about the state and outlook, meaning forecast, for the global water metering market. It's a key piece of the water infrastructure puzzle, sometimes often referred to as the cash register. Bluefield is just about to release a new report on the company market share forecasts and company strategies. And I'm not going to lie, I've seen the report, and it's going to be a good one, just like this conversation with Eric. But before we jump into things, I want to sound off an alarm bell. Globally, 785 million people do not have access to clean water. As such, women and girls are more often burdened by the task of walking to and carrying water back home to provide for their families and communities. The average round trip to a water source, 2.4 miles or 5 hours per day, carrying about 5 gallons. I've seen it. I've lived it. I promise you it happens. I know it's far from many of our worlds, but it is the truth. For this reason, among others, Bluefield Research is partnering with WaterAid in the ramp up to World Water Day on 22nd of March, 2023. Since 1981, WaterAid has worked in 34 countries in which it has reached 28.5 million people, providing clean water and sanitation. All right, so I'm joined here today by Eric Bendler. Eric.
How's it going, Reese?
Pretty good. Just, I don't know, I'm sort of in a lot of different worlds going on. Like, I'm single parenting this week. I've got spring break coming up for the next 2 weeks and just trying to keep it together in addition to just doing some work. What about you?
Yeah, I'm in, you know, almost new parent mode. So just kind of working during the week and then putting together baby furniture and bolting things to walls and getting all that stuff set up. So it's been a lot of fun.
Nice. I don't know if we've actually mentioned it on this podcast, but yeah, for everybody now in the know, Eric's about to have a child. So be on the lookout.
Yep.
So Eric, as a run up to that, I know there's been a bit of a crunch and doing some analysis on the water metering market, you know, meaning, you know, the, some have called it the cash register for the utility in some respects. So let's talk a little bit about water meters. I mean, what are we talking about and how do we define that segment?
Yeah. So, I mean, at a very, I guess, basic level that I think our listeners will be pretty familiar with, right? Water meters are just the devices that monitor water consumption at people's homes and businesses, in some cases, individual apartments, and that kind of thing. And like you said, I mean, they kind of have traditionally been used primarily for billing, right? They have been kind of treated as the cash register of the utility. But I think as we see more movement around this kind of digital transformation in the industry, meters are a big part of that. And utilities are increasingly realizing this kind of broader range of things that they can do with their meter data. You know, they can be used for a lot more than just billing. And I think we can get into that in a minute. In terms of how we define the space, when we talk about, you know, in terms of how we've titled the report, we're not specifically calling it a water meter report. We're talking about metering as this kind of broader set of technologies and services. And so, you know, kind of consistent with how we approach the digital water market as a whole, you know, we're certainly talking about the technology. We're talking about the hardware, you know, meters themselves, but also the, you know, the radio units or the endpoints that typically communicate the data from meters back to the utility. So that could be AMR or walk-by, drive-by endpoints. It could also be AMI or fully remote endpoints. So we do break those out in the report. But beyond just the hardware and the kind of the equipment piece of it, we're also talking about, you know, software, right? There's all kinds of different software vendors and applications out there that can manage that data or analyze that data or integrate it with other types of water data. We're also talking about the different types of communications, right? There's many different and kind of a growing landscape of communications protocols and networks that can be used to actually get that data off of the meters or the endpoints and transmit it back to the utilities, you know, platforms or their back office or their billing systems. So there's a lot of activity happening there. And then we're also talking about services, right? There's this kind of whole ecosystem of professional service providers around metering from, you know, just kind of planning and planning projects or designing communications networks to actually installing the devices in everybody's house in the community, to the kind of after sales, you know, ongoing support and maintenance to actually keep that meter fleet and keep all of that communications equipment up and running.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting, and I think this is really what you're touching upon, is that the meters have gone over time or evolved from just this one piece of hardware that was for billing. Now they've really become, partly through technology advancements, have become tools for understanding or providing a better understanding of not only what's happening within a household or a commercial facility, but also within the network itself. And so there's this myriad of solutions sort of trying to patch onto it, whether it be hardware or software. So I guess, you know, one question is going to be, you know, you've talked a lot about it, there's a big story here, but why the focus on meters? Why should we care?
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of touched on a few things there, but just to back up a little bit, I mean, in terms of when we think about digital water and we define digital water, and you know, some of our listeners may know, we put out a big kind of global digital water market forecast last year. Metering is the biggest piece of that, right? We cover a range of different technologies in that report. But when we define kind of the digital water universe or the digital water market, metering is the single largest piece of that pie. I mean, it accounts for about a third of total spending on, you know, digital water technology and services globally, in at least the utility sector, the water utility sector. So that's kind of one, you know, big reason why we're focusing on it, because it's the biggest piece of the pie. You know, I think also when we're thinking about it from the perspective of utilities, smart metering in particular, you know, kind of investing in metering, but you know, smart or digital metering, like remote metering, AMI, it often is one of the earliest stages in a utility's, or even a kind of a broader city's digital journey, right? It's kind of one of the core, when we think about the core building blocks that a utility needs to have in place to kind of move towards greater stages of digital maturity or more advanced, you know, data integration or data-driven decision-making, just having that more, you know, close to real-time, regular, remote transmitted meter data is a really valuable tool, alongside things like, you know, SCADA platforms or GIS or hydraulic modeling. And actually the communications networks themselves, the kind of communications investments that utilities make to be able to get remote, you know, data from all of their, you know, thousands or even millions of metering devices throughout their service areas, those network investments can also be really useful for other types of applications. And that's where we start to see this kind of smart city discussion, where maybe a city-owned water utility invests in an AMI network, and then that same network can also be used for, you know, electric or gas metering. It can be used for other types of IoT applications, like, you know, smart streetlights or smart parking or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it is a kind of a foundational element or a foundational investment in this kind of broader digital transformation of the utility sector, of kind of municipal government more broadly. And then the third thing, which kind of gets back to your point, and to the point that I started with, you know, utilities, I think, are increasingly seeing the potential value and the potential power of their metering platforms if they learn how to use them a little bit more extensively, right? If they learn how to kind of harness that data, you know, they are the cash register, right? They are the primary touch point with customers. And so, you know, if utilities want to get into this mode of more proactive customer management, proactive customer engagement, they, you know, really the meter is the point at which they're interfacing with their customers. If they want to be able to detect potential high bills and alert their customers proactively that maybe there's going to be a high bill coming, they need access to real-time data. If the customer calls in and has an issue, they typically need to have access to that data. If they want to, you know, bill accurately and recover revenue, they need to have that, you know, the meter is where that happens, right? And being able to actually recover, especially for kind of larger commercial and industrial facilities, having an accurate account of the amount of water being used to be able to actually bill for that and recover that revenue, it's really critical to their, you know, utilities kind of overall financial profile. So there's the customer piece of it and the kind of billing and revenue recovery piece of it. But as you mentioned, right, there's all of these other things that you can do with this data. You know, metering data is really critical in terms of leak detection, right? And especially as we're seeing more climate related pressures, more water scarcity, water stress in a lot of different parts of the world, metering is one of the, you know, kind of critical tools that utilities have in their tool belts to deal with water loss, right? Both to help understand where their customers may be losing water, where customers may have leaks on the, you know, the kind of customer side of the meter, but also even within their own networks, right? If you kind of measure, essentially, right, you measure how much water you're putting into the system, and then you measure how much water is being consumed by your customers, you have a pretty decent estimate of how much has been lost along the way, right? And from there, you can start to figure out maybe where it is, especially if you're doing district metering and things like that. So there's the kind of climate and water stress pressure. And then it's also, you know, meter data, that kind of flow or consumption data, especially when kind of put in tandem with other types of water network data, you know, water quality data or water pressure data, it gives operators a pretty good understanding of what's going on within their distribution networks, right? And, you know, I mean, this is something that we talk about a lot in this industry, on this podcast. You know, one of the biggest challenges of the water industry is that, you know, the vast majority of the assets that utilities are managing are underground. They don't know what state they're in unless they're getting some sort of data on what's going on in those pipe networks, you know, on where potential leaks are occurring or where potential breaks are going to occur, you know, where you've got issues with water quality or water age. And so kind of taking all of these different parameters, you know, the flow or consumption, the quality, the temperature, the pressure, if you can pull all that together, you can start to make some pretty good analysis of kind of the overall performance, the efficiency, but also the condition or the health of those assets and those networks.
So, I mean, it seems like we are at an inflection point. There's things happening, right? And so, I mean, when you think of that, I mean, are we at an inflection point? And if that's the case, what are the shifts that you're seeing as part of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we absolutely are. It's kind of funny to think about, like, you know, water metering is, you know, well over 100-year-old industry, right? And I just actually, you know, many of the companies that we profile in this report are, you know, 100 years old, 150 years old. I just quickly before this pod took a quick average, and of the 20 main companies that we look at in the report, the average age is 80 years old. So it's not, you know, it's an old sector, especially relative to when we think about digital water and all of these kind of new emerging technologies. You know, it's kind of a imbalance there in terms of how we're thinking about these players. But all of that being said, there's a ton of change happening in the metering sector. I think especially right now, what's been interesting in this report is just kind of, you know, as I said at the beginning, we're talking about hardware, software, services, and connectivity, those four elements of the metering market. And there's a lot of change happening in each of those, right? And we kind of walk through that in the report. But just a couple, you know, technology changes, for example, I mean, within meter hardware specifically, we're seeing this big shift towards static meters, right? The kind of traditional umbrella term for the kind of legacy metering technology that's been in place for many years is mechanical meters. And there's different types of mechanical meters, but essentially something is moving within the meter, something, you know, there's a jet that's spinning or kind of positive displacement meters, you know, things are moving in the meter as water is entering them. And that's used to essentially measure how much water is being consumed. But when you have these moving parts, you also have greater opportunity for things to wear down, for things to become less, you know, less accurate over time, and ultimately for the meter to fail. And so there's these new kind of static metering technologies that don't have moving parts, right? So they're, you know, the kind of the promise, at least, is that they are accurate for, they're much more accurate kind of out of the box, but they also maintain their accuracy over time. And they are just longer lasting, right? It's kind of it's a long-term investment that you're going to, you know, you're going to put that thing in your customer's basement or in a meter pit, and it's going to last for 15, 20 years at least, right? That's kind of the promise of that technology. And so that's one big shift that we're seeing. We're also seeing a lot of changes on the communications front. A lot of the kind of incumbent metering players have offered, especially smart metering or AMI players, have offered their own kind of proprietary AMI solutions that, you know, typically they sell the meters, but they also sell a bunch of networking infrastructure that they install throughout the community. And then the utility basically maintains that infrastructure to collect their data. We're seeing more of a move towards leveraging other types of communications networks that the utility doesn't actually have to manage. So that could be leveraging, you know, commercial cellular networks. It could be new LPWAN technologies, you know, if you've heard of like LoRaWAN or NB-IoT or, you know, LTE-M, these, you know, Sigfox, may they rest in peace, I guess, you know, these different types of communications technologies where basically someone else is kind of installing and maintaining that network. And the utility is able to leverage that and get their meter data transmitted from their meters to the home. There's even, you know, I mean, in looking through this in detail for the report, there's, you know, blockchain-based communications networks. There's Amazon Sidewalk that we've talked about in the past, which is leveraging, you know, the installed base of Amazon, you know, Ring devices or Echo devices to move data from place to place. So there's just this much broader universe of kind of communications options that have different trade-offs in terms of total cost of ownership, in terms of upfront cost, in terms of, you know, the battery life or the performance of the network. And so utilities have this really broad kind of menu of options that they can choose from. So that's the technology side of it. There's also business model shifts that go along with that, right? We're seeing many of these vendors that are especially offering different types of communications. They're also offering kind of more innovative business models where the utility doesn't have to maintain the network infrastructure, right? They're maybe paying kind of a monthly or a yearly service fee or data transmission fee to use those networks, right? Kind of a network as a service model or a data as a service model where, you know, they're not making the upfront investment in the upfront capital investment in the equipment, in the devices. They're just getting the data, right? They're getting the information that they need. And so the vendor, whoever that is, whether it be a metering vendor or a telecommunications firm or some other third-party services firm, they're the ones who are kind of taking on the risk of actually managing those devices and getting the data and putting that into the hands of the utilities. So the business model thing is number two. And then I guess the third big shift that we kind of look at throughout the report is just what's happened with the metering market from COVID, right? I mean, of all of the digital water segments that we track, and I mean, arguably even just more broadly in the water industry, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a segment that was as significantly impacted by COVID as the metering sector was. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I mean, in the early stages of the pandemic, a lot of big ticket kind of high capital investment metering projects were put on hold because utilities were trying to kind of freeze investments. They were trying to figure out what was going on, reduce costs. Not to mention, it just wasn't a good idea to be sending people door to door, like installing meters in people's basements in the, you know, early stages of this big health pandemic, right? So there was that. There was a lot of kind of deferment and delayed projects in the beginning. Then we've seen just As we've talked about quite a lot, the massive supply chain disruptions over the past couple of years since COVID, and in particular, you know, semiconductor shortages and other electronics components, it's really kind of roiled the metering sector. And companies have had a lot of trouble kind of meeting demand, especially as we moved out of the early stages of the pandemic. Demand for metering just surged. There's these massive backlogs that basically every vendor is dealing with, but they just can't get the supply they need to actually meet that demand. And so we're hearing about lead times as long as, like, you know, a year, almost 2 years in some cases, 90 weeks lead times on different types of metering devices. Meter vendors have had to kind of put the brakes on developing or launching new products because they're having to put all of their energy into just finding ways to keep making their existing products, you know, finding new supply chain partners and finding new ways, you know, assembly methods just to get their stuff actually made and out the door. And then the last COVID piece here is also all of the post-COVID kind of stimulus funding and recovery funding that we're seeing in, you know, in places like the US with the IIJA or the RRF funding in the EU that are kind of coming out of COVID, you know, finding, you know, a lot of just infrastructure investment, a lot of support for the sector that is going into, among other things, smart metering and leakage reduction efforts and kind of water conservation efforts. And all of that, again, kind of lends itself well to metering investments.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that stands out in the report to me, and if this is what you're just referring to, the impact of COVID, just looking at year-over-year revenues, I know we've looked at, I don't know, 10, 15 different companies at their year-over-year revenues from 2018 to 2022. And, you know, some of the bigger players have actually been hit pretty hard, it looks like, revenue-wise. And, you know, otherwise, it's either flat, and there are some players that they've seen an uptick. So, I mean, along those same lines, now, since we're talking dollars and cents, what's the size of the metering market? You said that it was, what, 30% of global digital market. So what do we estimate across how many countries are we looking at? What's the size in dollars and or units?
Yeah. So there's about 45 key kind of countries that we look at globally that's been the basis for our digital water forecast for the past year or two. And so across those 45 countries, we estimate the, let's call it, to, you know, 2022, the global market for For all, you know, all in for the hardware, for the software, for the, you know, installation and implementation services, for all the connectivity related expenses that I talked about earlier, it's about $8 billion, right? That's kind of the headline number, growing at about an 8%, maybe, you know, a little less than 8% compound annual growth rate over the course of this decade. And we project it's about a 10-year total of $1.5 billion devices are going to be sold over that time. So that's the meters, whether they be mechanical or static meters, you know, the AMI and AMR endpoints, you know, from about a little more than 100 million per year now up to about 200 million by the end of the decade. So that's high level. There's a lot going on underneath, right? A lot of regional variation. At this point, North America has kind of stood out as a leader in, especially in smart metering. And it's interesting because I think in a lot of, again, when we think about the digital water market more broadly, we see, you know, Europe and Australia in many cases leading the way in a lot of different types of digital applications, typically more sophisticated than your average US utility, for example. But in metering, you know, the US in particular has really kind of led the way. So we estimate that something like a quarter of all metered connections in North America currently have fully remote read capabilities. So, you know, AMI, for example, compared with maybe only about 10% in Europe and you know, maybe 3 or 4% in Australia and in New Zealand. And then if you look at, you know, a lot of developing markets, you know, Asia, Latin America, you know, the lion's share of the population, maybe 60% of the population doesn't have any meters, right? We're not even talking about smart meters. There's no meters, right? They're unmetered. So a lot of the growth in units that we're projecting comes from places like India or China, as we're seeing, obviously populations are growing, but also more and more homes and businesses and people are getting meters, whether they be, you know, smart, remote read, static, you know, cut at the top of the line meters, or more likely just very basic mechanical meters to get that basic billing data on kind of how much water is being consumed.
Yeah. Well, I guess one question I have for you related to that is, while there is this technology shift that's happening, I mean, I think when we look at the numbers, the AMI endpoints, as we call it, is expanding. It's share of the pie or area chart, depending on how you want to visualize it. To your point, mechanical meters, that stack is still growing, right, year over year. So is that, and that's why, because some of these, if you want to call them lesser developed markets, that's where they're deploying, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and so mechanical meters account for about 40% of the total market as we've kind of identified it. You know, there's a little bit of growth there associated with, again, kind of demand in emerging markets, as well as just the replacement market, especially in more advanced markets where there is a culture of metering. There's a big install base. A lot of the kind of year-over-year business of the metering market is just replacing existing customers' meters, adding that inventory so that if a couple meters break here or there, they can go in and replace them, you know, versus these, when, you know, the more exciting stuff is these wholesale shifts where a city signs a new contract to put in a completely, you know, brand new static metering fleet, or they shift to a new technology. There, you know, obviously we track that too, but, you know, a decent share of what happens in the industry is just that kind of more mundane, more pedestrian, just, you know, replacing an existing customer's existing stock. But in terms of growth, yeah, I mean, you know, so mechanical meters is the biggest pie, but it's not growing very fast. You know, where we see the change happening again is in static meters. We've got that at about a 15% compound annual growth rate globally. AMI endpoints, about a 12% growth rate over the forecast period. You know, and there are some opportunities as well for leapfrogging, right? I mean, I think, you know, Oceania, right? Australia and New Zealand, again, very low current base of remote read meters, but we're seeing a jump. They're kind of jumping over AMR, right? You know, for places like North America and Europe, we've seen the metering market, you know, kind of metering technology evolve in waves where you had basically just plain mechanical, non-communicating, you know, quote unquote, dumb meters for decades, right? For generations. You know, then we had kind of the AMR technology, which basically, you know, you put a radio on the meter, it doesn't transmit very far, but it allows people, you know, allows the utility to just send staff to essentially drive down the street, collect the data from the houses that they're driving past, so they don't actually have to get out, you know, park, get out, go read the meter manually and come back. So it's a bit of a time saver. It is, you know, a little more digital, although certainly not as advanced as the stuff we're seeing now. And then you have the fully remote read technologies that you know, the kind of AMI technologies. Typically, static meters have AMI capabilities built in, so there's not even a separate endpoint that you strap on. It's all kind of one device. And so in places where there wasn't that, you know, there's not a big metering base to begin with, there wasn't this kind of first wave of investment in AMR technology, you're seeing this leapfrogging where utilities are able to just go straight from, you know, maybe not even having meters at all to having some sort of more advanced, you know, remote read AMI or even static meters.
So when we look at this, so, I mean, to that point, you mentioned earlier, I guess, you know, 20 or so different companies. I mean, who are the players to watch, not necessarily to pick favorites, but who in who are those leading players, but also who's doing things that are interesting, whether it be M&A or launching new products or strategies, whether it be geographic or product wise?
Yeah. So the meat of the report, there's a group of 20 major metering companies that we decided to look at. And, you know, I mean, there's certainly others out there, right? I think we picked the list in part because they're the biggest players in many cases, but they're also, you know, we wanted to get kind of a regional representation. So we had some, you know, a smaller Australian player, for example, or a couple smaller US players. So within this group of 20, you know, it's really interesting to see kind of the diversity of types of businesses, right? I mean, you do have a couple companies that are just water meter pure plays, right? You know, Neptune Technology Group stands out, or Metron Farnier, also a US company. You know, they basically do nothing but water metering. You do also have a pretty extensive group of companies that are metering pure plays, but they also serve, you know, the electric metering or gas metering, or, you know, in Europe, maybe heat kind of district heat metering and things like that. So, you know, companies like Camstrup or Axioma are two that come to mind in that category. And then you have just massive kind of diversified industrial conglomerates like Honeywell, you know, a $35 billion company that has a, you know, very small fraction of their business dedicated to water metering. Diehl Group is another one, a German company that's a, you know, they also serve like the aviation sector and defense, and they do, you know, it's, you know, kind of these broader industrial conglomerates that also have a metering business. So it's an interesting crop. Many of them are publicly traded, or at least they provide some sort of revenue information, which is helpful. And so with that, you know, we've done some kind of market share calculations at a high level, just trying to understand, you know, again, taking total company reported revenues and kind of figuring out what part of the business is water metering. And so based on our estimates, the biggest players are really all US companies, right? There's four US companies that all have double digit market share at a global level. So that would be, you know, Sensus, Neptune, Badger Meter, and Itron. But we are seeing these kind of newer players, in particular from Europe or from China, that are starting to kind of make moves on key regional markets, right? So I already mentioned Camstrup and Axioma. Those are both European players that are making noise in Europe. And Camstrup in particular has been kind of making a lot of noise in the US market. They opened up a manufacturing facility in Georgia, and they're really kind of taking a growing share of the US market. But then some Chinese companies, we look at three: Sanchuan Wisdom, Suntra Technologies, Huizhong Instrumentation are the three that we look at here. And they obviously have a massive domestic market that they can serve, but they're also kind of making moves into Australia, for example, starting to kind of get some deals, some partnerships in Australia. And I think many of them are targeting more kind of internationally as well. So, you know, a lot of really interesting kind of competitive dynamics here. Again, COVID kind of shook all this up. These technology changes and business model changes are shaking things up and really opening the door for, you know, a lot of the newer companies, the kind of, you know, Camstrups and Axiomas of the world really are, they're basically static metering pure plays, right? They're not really doing anything else. They're really kind of banking on that shift and kind of trying to do it better than a lot of the larger incumbent players. You know, it's obviously up for debate whether they are or they will do it better, but that's what, you know, they're really trying to capitalize on that market shift.
One of the things we've also looked at is, you know, like you said, they're expanding. They all have come from different places, right? Whether they're diversified, pure place. But, you know, one of the strategies they've deployed also is just like M&A, basically. You know, they've grown. So according to the report, I know you've mentioned there have been about 30 plus deals that have happened over the past 10, 15 years. But they're not just buying other metering companies. They're doing other things that seem to be enhancing their product portfolios, correct?
Yeah, and I think this is a really interesting trend too. We've put out a couple, you know, research notes and things like that on this trend as well, which is that we see, especially some of the larger kind of incumbent players that have a decent chunk of the metering market, they're looking to the broader digital water market for new opportunities, right? And I'd say probably Badger is the best case of this. If you look at their M&A history over the past 10 years, I think they've made around 10 deals in the past 10 or so years. The first couple of those deals, they were basically, they bought up new metering technology players, right? They, I think, you know, some of their ultrasonic technology that they are now kind of deploying came from an M&A deal. Some of their kind of cellular radio, cellular AMI capabilities came from an M&A deal. So they're really focusing on shoring up there and kind of transforming their existing metering business. They also bought up a bunch of metering distribution players, kind of you know, regional distributors in the US, kind of bought up some of their supply chain or their distribution chain. So that was their early, you know, early to mid 2010s M&A strategy. But in the past, really since 2020, they've made three consecutive deals buying up other types of kind of digital water remote monitoring or IoT startups, right? So they bought Scan, which is a big water quality monitoring company. ATI is another water quality monitoring company. And then Syrinix is a pressure monitoring company. And back to the point I was making, you know, earlier on in the podcast, having those three sets of capabilities, the kind of flow or consumption data, the quality data, the pressure data, really allows companies and operators, utility operators, to do some really interesting things in terms of understanding and analyzing what's going on in their network, right? So they're really kind of, we say, you know, they're moving upstream from the meter into the distribution network to offer a broader suite of hardware, of software, of services, you know, that are going to kind of capitalize on growing demand for digital solutions in the pipe network itself. But they're not the only ones. I mean, Camstrup also, not necessarily via M&A, but they've launched a metering product that has actually a built-in acoustic leak detection capability. So, you know, kind of a similar route, trying to use those meters actually as a kind of a central node for data collection throughout the network and adding those other kind of, you know, network parameters in addition to the actual meter data itself. Some companies even, you know, Itron or Eclair or Taggle, they also offer wastewater monitoring services, in many cases, you know, basically using that existing AMI network to transmit other types of IoT data back. So that, you know, again, sewer overflow monitoring data or flooding data or, you know, hydrogen sulfide monitors, you know, odor monitoring for sewer systems and things like that. So I'd say that's probably one of the more interesting M&A trends we're seeing. And it's not only M&A, as I said, it's also kind of just internal R&D, but we are seeing that move where bigger players are trying to kind of increase their exposure to the broader digital water market and find other pockets of growth within that digital water market.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really interesting space. Like you said, it's a big chunk of the overall pie. It's interesting to see, you know, It across the board, all the different types of companies. I mean, I think you've profiled not only all these companies, but forecasted them, looked at their revenues, and looked at M&A. So there's a lot to unpack here. I think this report that you're sort of referring to, a lot of this analysis comes out, I guess, in the next week to 10 days at the latest. So I really look forward to that. With that being said, as I start to wrap things up, anything else to either add and maybe tell us a little bit about what you're working on?
I think we've covered most of it. I mean, I'm just excited to get this out there. We've also got a kind of an appendix of not just comparing the metering companies themselves, but also looking at a couple of their different product offerings in terms of things like, you know, their battery life, their warranties, their data granularity, their communications options. So that's a little bit new. We haven't done that in any of the reports I've done, at least. So I'm excited to, you know, get that information out there. You know, we're going to have a pretty cool dashboard in our Data Navigator platform to go along with it, where we're going to combine the forecast data, the you know, the sales, the unit sales forecast that we've made, as well as, you know, dollar value forecast. But we're also layering in a lot of the competitive stuff. You know, we're going to include information on these top 20 metering companies and market share and things like that. So I think, you know, a big package of stuff here that we're really excited to get out the door and really looking to get, you know, really hoping we get some good feedback and hoping it's helpful to our clients and our listeners. Other than that, just kind of getting back into, you know, Digital Water Quarterly going through the M&A data and things like that. So this one's been taking up a good amount of time. So kind of taking a step back and coming up for air and figuring out what else has been going on in the industry.
Yeah, I'm sure as everybody can tell, there's a lot to unpack here. And it's not just really like you, I think you alluded to this. It's not really just about metering players. We're not just looking at them specifically. We also look at sort of the entire landscape or ecosystem, because there are lots of opportunities for other third-party firms or service providers or software vendors to leverage the metering as an entry point into the market. And there are lots of different ways, like you said, including telecommunications. That was one interesting point you brought up as well. So really interesting stuff, Eric. Thanks a million for the time. And I don't know, maybe this is the last podcast we'll have you on before you have a third person in your house. We'll see. But if we don't talk to you before then on the podcast, best of luck, and we'll talk soon. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Reese. Really appreciate it.
All right, there you have it. Tons to unpack. Really dense, lots of data, lots of analysis. I can't speak more highly of not only Eric's expertise and what he adds to the Digital Water Insight Service, but also Bluefield, and also just in supporting our clients. So if you have any questions about this analysis, it'll be on our website in, like I said, next 7 to 10 days. But also, you can always reach out to us at waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any questions. But before we sign off, and not to get ahead of ourselves, if you're in Boston, let us know. We can always set up a meeting. We're right in downtown Boston, and we're more or less in the office every day. So we want to talk to you. We want to see you. So let us know if you want to swing by the office or just grab a coffee and talk water. Please subscribe to the Future Water Podcast and give us a review. Reviews help us help you. And lastly, as I said, send us a note to waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any topic ideas or any questions about the global water metering market, and tell a friend about it. It's really important to us. That's how things spread virally. And to wrap it up, these water industry insights have been brought to you by the one and only Bluefield Research. To learn more about us, visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Till we talk again, be well, be safe, and take care.